Good evening. Good to see you here tonight. Let's take a hymn book and sing page 638. Stand with us, if you will. Let's sing, I Need Thee Every Hour.
You may be seated. If you need a prayer list, would you raise your hand? The ushers will bring them to you right down here, Brother Dale, if you would, or Mike, or whoever. And someone over in this section right over here particularly, if you would do that, that would be good, and take care of that. While they're doing that, Iggy, I want to get this right. It's your dad that passed away? And is he local here? Is he? Okay. Let's be much in prayer for Iggy Negron's family in the passing of her dad. And I've prayed for you already and have been praying for you, and the people will join us in that. If you'd write that down, Mrs. Negron, and if you'd like to put that there, you may. I want to request also that you pray for, I was in a fellowship meeting, I was in a pastor's fellowship meeting on Monday, and I sense, I don't know that I'm imagining this, maybe it's because I'm looking for it that I sense it, but I sense an urgency in this hour in which we live. I sense an urgency in this 2016 election. I was not surprised, but I was impressed with the references to the need we have and what must take place in this country if we're going to go forward. And also with the challenge of, if it doesn't go the way we'd like it to go, what we must do. That we must not quit. We must keep on going. And whatever that entails, we must stand for the Lord. Monday, well, I leave Saturday. Saturday I leave to go to Knoxville. And I'll be preaching the opening session Sunday morning of Baptist Friends. This is a large meeting in Knoxville at Pastor Clarence Sexton's place at Temple Baptist Church and Crown College. And the theme for this year that he's asked all of us to preach around is that of confronting unbelief in America. Confronting unbelief. And, you know, it must be confronted. It must be confronted. And it's our responsibility. It's not the angel's responsibility. It's not the world's responsibility. It's our responsibility. And so we must do that. It amazes me that in this thing of this restroom battle. Now, isn't that a strange battleground? The battle of the restrooms. And in Mississippi, of course, they've passed a law regarding religious freedom, that you can't be made to do things that are against your faith. And because of that, and because of North Carolina, that their governors and there are city mayors that are saying, our people will not, on official business, be allowed to travel. They'll not be allowed to travel. They cannot go to North Carolina. In other words, if they want to have a convention or a conference, or if there's a convention going on in North Carolina, our people cannot attend that convention because we're not going to go to North Carolina, or we're not going to go to Mississippi. Do you know that in Iran, homosexuals are beheaded? And we lighten the cooperation with that country, and we say it's okay now to travel there, it's okay to do business, and the sanctions are lifted and all that kind of stuff. That's a crazy thing. Businesses that are running to open offices in Iran and in Cuba and everywhere else are saying, we're not going to do business in North Carolina. We're not going to do business in Tennessee. I mentioned Tennessee. I meant Mississippi. Tennessee's got a deal before the legislature now that they're going to vote, and they're going to, as a state, has a state color, a state bird, a state animal. They're going to make the Bible their state book.
Amen.
I don't know. I don't know whether that's going to go or not, but I'm for it. I'm for it. Yeah, I think that's a good idea. Strange thing. So I want you to pray for Baptist Friends. In fact, tonight I want us to give the offering to Baptist Friends, and I'll carry it with me. Well, I won't even be counting until Monday, but we'll send the check on up to them for Baptist Friends next week. Just to encourage their hearts. And you say, well, why would they do that? Nobody does that for us whenever we have Founders Conference. I know, but it's not important that they do it for us. It's important that we do it for others. That's the important thing. And so so we'll do that. We'll do that. Brother Mark, come share the list with us.
Well, as Pastor reminded us, we're praying for our president, our government officials, and for peace of Israel and in Israel, and for our missionaries serving the Middle East, and for the upcoming elections, praying much about all these things that are upon us. Brother Jim Crawford had open heart surgery, and he's still in the hospital, but he's doing quite well, and all things considered, and sure appreciate your prayers and for his complete recovery. Continue to pray for him, if you will. David Weiss requests prayer for a former co-worker, Paul, who had quad bypass surgery. Dot Daniels is one of our shut-ins, and she will have surgery on her leg today. She had surgery, and I have not heard the results of that surgery yet. Trenton Redding, a teenager and former member of VCBC, is in the hospital at Arnold Palmer. They performed surgery and found a mass and very, very sick. Pray for Trenton, if you will. And we've been praying for Brian. This is Dave Hipshin's employee. And continue to pray for him, if you will. His condition is still not good. Martha Quayle is still in the hospital at Sanford Hospital. She has seemingly taken a turn for the worse. Pastor has talked to her most recently, and so I'll let him give the update on that. But pray for Martha, please. Marie Bowder's daughter, Tammy, has some very serious health problems. Praying for her, mentioned her last week. Glenda Coy's nephew had surgery and removing a cyst, and we're praising God that the report came back as benign. So we're thankful for that, and continue to pray for him, if you will. And pray for our teens going to camp this summer. Please begin praying. Some great life-changing decisions are made at teen camps. And so do put that on your prayer list, if you will. Kara Stoughton requests prayer for their friends. Mentioned last week about the 19-year-old son passed away in his sleep. And so continue to pray for this family, please. And Chris Henderson's cancer has metastasized, and the doctor is discussing surgery. Continuing to pray for these that are on the list, we're praising God for the answers to prayer about Mark Fleming, and praying for Mary Butler, Gina and Godby, and Lydia Buck, Rod Mills, Gary Sherrill. Gary just got a report, and they'll be doing surgery on him very soon. Brother Carey, God bless you, sir. Good to see you here tonight. And I did get that that report that in a week or two is the surgery. A week from Monday. A week from Monday. So pray for him, if you will. Rick Elkins, David Goss, Wesley Perry. He is home. Praise the Lord. Little Wesley. And pray for him, if you will. Stacy Libby's father, Carol Alderman, Alicia Robles, Lou Sukup's neighbor, Daryl, Stephen Van Ravensway, and Rusty Chukowski's father. And our missionary in Guam, Patty Carmen, pray for her, if you will, as we are spotlighting her ministry there in Guam, and then also the Jeff Carney family in the Yucatan, praying for these two missionaries this week. And then these in the nursing home, in Orange City Rehab, Mary Lou Siever, Ann Sperry, and Jim Crawford, DeBerry Manor, Dot Daniels, that we mentioned a moment ago, France Edwards, Savannah Court, Linda Rabbit's mother, Sterling Court, Bill Gamble, Oakwood Gardens, Rose Swainston, and then those in the armed forces. Thank you for those of you who gave us updated information on those that are, family members that are in the armed forces. We'll be updating that on this list. And so perhaps you forgot about that, or you didn't hear the announcement on Sunday. If you would please get that emailed in, or jot a note down with the updated information of your loved one who's serving the military, if you could, if you feel free to give us their email address, we can put them on a list that we can contact about big days, big events. If they wanted to watch the live stream, we can put them on that notification list. That way they just have something from home, you know what I'm saying? So if you'd like to put their email address on there, that'd be great too. Thank you, Pastor.
Brother Bill Fink, if you will, work your way to the platform and lead us in prayer. Good offering last week for the Damascus family. We rounded, of course, that up to $600 and sent that to them. Jim Crawford is really doing well. I saw Jim yesterday. He's doing really well, and beyond what the doctors expected, way beyond what I expected. I really did not expect him to do well at all, but he's doing very good, very good. And we thank the Lord that the doctor said he'll probably go home 2 or 3 days early from what they normally would keep him, and so we're thankful for that. Martha, I saw her yesterday also. Aaron had seen her earlier in the week, and she talked with him and everything like that, and she said, I'm, you know, in pain and not doing well, but she said, I'm feeling pretty good and looking to get this taken care of and everything like that. And so I went by yesterday expecting to find her pretty good, and she was unresponsive. Now, I don't know whether it was just for that time right then or whatever, but she was there with her eyes open and had her glasses on, and she was not asleep. I made enough noise to awake her if she had been asleep. And I called her name and said, patted her on the arm, Martha, Martha, this is preacher. This is preacher. I just want to come by and see you. And she's totally unresponsive. And so be much in prayer for Martha. that God will bless and help her in a very special way. All these other requests that have come to us, and I know you have requests on your heart. I want you to look around now. Somebody near you has a prayer request. Would you remember to pray for them? If you have a request, would you raise your hand? Just kind of look around and see the ones that do have. And Brother Bill, come pray for us.
Let's pray. Father, we come before you tonight with a heavy heart. Our country needs you more and more, and we pray that you would not remove your protective hand from our country. There is a remnant of Christians here, and protect us. And for all of these prayer requests, oh, there's so many serious prayer requests tonight. We pray that you would have your will and way in each request here, and fold your arms around your people and lift them up and give them comfort. And be with this service today as we start studying the crowns. Oh, what a goal to strive for. And we ask your blessing upon this church. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Bill. Let's take our hymn books once again. Turn to page 12. Page 12. A good message. Praise him. Let's stand together, would you please? Praise him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. Page 12.
Praise him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O earth, his wonderful love proclaim. Hail him, highest archangels in glory. Strength and honor give to his holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard his children. In his arms he carries them all day long. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song. Our blessed Redeemer, for our sins he suffered and bled and died. He, our rock, our hope of eternal salvation. Hail him, Jesus the crucified. Sound his praises, Jesus who bore our sorrows. Love unbounded, wonderful, and strong. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song. Praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Heavenly portals loud with hosannas ring. Jesus, Savior, forever and ever. Crown him, prophet and priest and king. Christ is coming over the world victorious. Power and glory unto the Lord belong. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song.
Well, let's do ever praise him in joyful song. And that's a joyful song to praise him with. It is. I love it. Any visitor here? Any visitors? Anybody visiting? Anyone at all visiting with us tonight? First time you've ever been here. Anybody like that? Anybody like that? All right. Everybody's home, folks. So everybody knows everybody else's name. Everybody knows each other. Everybody can just walk up, shake hands, and call each other's name. And that's a good thing. I mean, you do know who's in your family, don't you? I mean, oh, my. Well, I want you to shake hands in just a moment. We're going to sing a little chorus you may or may not know. He's able. He's able. I know he's able. I know my Lord is able to carry me through. And then we sing it again. And then we do what we call a little bridge. The bridge says, he heals the brokenhearted and he sets the captive free. He makes the lame to walk again and calls the blind to see. He's able. He's able. I know he's able. All right? If you don't know the words, just say he's able. Okay? Here we go.
He's able. He's able. I know he's able. I know my Lord is able to carry me through. He's able. He's able. I know he's able. I know my Lord is able to carry me through. He heals the brokenhearted and he sets the captive free. He makes a lame to walk again and calls the blind to see. He's able. He's able. I know he's able. I know my Lord is able to carry me through.
Yeah, he can carry us through. He can carry us through. And he can take us through whatever we need to go through. He's able, the enabling power of our God, to make the decisions we need to make, to stand the way we need to stand, to have the victory we need to have. He's able. He's able. He is able. We'll sing it again in just a moment, but greet those around you. Shake hands with one another. Enjoy. Thank you so much. Find your place, and ushers, come forward if you will. You may be seated. Brother Mark, you have some announcements for us?
Ladies, thank you so very much for picking up the costumes. We appreciate it. All the used costumes have been taken home, and we appreciate that. So just bring them back when you can, and we sure appreciate your help with that. Thank you. And April the 8th, that's tomorrow. Tomorrow, the jail ministry banquet. Brother Jim Westmoreland, standing up right over here. And if you would like to go, it's not too late to give him your name tonight, okay? So this is a free banquet. It's a free dinner. It is the purpose of presenting the ministry, and there are some people who attend who will say, wow, I didn't realize the effectiveness of this work. And some folks give. It is a fundraising banquet and that type of thing, but no pressure is brought to bear. And no one sends mail outs to you every week and knocks on your door and calls you. But they present the ministry, and it's a wonderful program, music and a wonderful dinner served by the inmates that are trustworthy. Yeah, go ahead. And Chick-fil-A. Yeah, Chick-fil-A supports it, and they provide the main entree, and the food's always delicious. So see him tonight. If you want to go, and if you need a ride or whatever, need to let him know about that as well. Don't know for sure if we can arrange that, but we'll do our best. 10 till 6, transportation leaves here at the church at 10 till 6. And so this is in Sanford, and so he'll give you all the information, if you will, about that. And then also, on the 22nd, on Friday night, 7 o'clock, right here, please don't forget to be here for the concert. This will be a wonderful thing that people will be talking about for a long time. And if you say, well, I'll just live stream it, I won't go. Well, you know, it's kind of like, you ever been to a ball game? You ever been to a ball game? Then you ever watched a ball game on TV? Now, at least you know what happened. On, you know, if you're watching it on TV, you know what happened. But you miss out on so much that just can't be described. The energy, the electricity in the air, the excitement, and all that kind of thing. So please, if you tend to live stream some stuff, and those of you that are live streaming right now, If you tend to live stream things, don't live stream that concert, okay? You'll want to be here 7 o'clock, and that'll be a marvelous time. And the Central Florida Pregnancy Center of Deltona, the Walk for Life we mentioned on Sunday, it was in the bulletin and all of that. I want to remind you of that the morning of Saturday, April the 30th. And please see Cheryl Baird if you have any questions about that. Thank you, Pastor.
Another thing about the concert is you really do not get, in a music concert, you do not get the sound over that little speaker in your TV or your that little speaker in your computer like you get in the room. It's entirely different. I hope you will come. I think Becky has some very special things planned, some kind of unique things, I think, that will, rather than just the songs that she's played. Somebody asked her today, I think it was, how long are you going to do? She said, I don't know. I got 25 songs ready to go. And I don't think she's going to do all of those, but she may have preparation for an encore or something. I don't know. All right. But anyway, I hope you will come for that. Baptist Friends starts Sunday, goes through next Thursday. Aaron will be there coming up on Monday after the Sunday service is here, and then we're coming back on Wednesday and be back here next Thursday night. But I hope you'll pray much, and we're going to give. We're going to give for that tonight. I put this suit on tonight, and I put my hand in the pocket, and there was a whole bunch of $1 bills in here. I don't know how many there are.
Just enough.
Just enough? Okay, I won't even count it then. I won't even count it. I'll just put them in there. I don't have to ask anybody tonight. Okay. And I did pay back my $20 from last week. I paid it back. Okay. Huh? Somebody question my honesty on that? Do I owe somebody else money? Oh, Lord, you're so good to us, and you bless us in so many ways. And we are needy, and we've talked about that tonight. And we bring it to you again as it's already been brought to you. I thank you for the emphasis this week in the preacher's meeting. And Father, obviously in churches like ours around the country that love you and love your word and love the idea of getting people saved and standing for truth and all of that, Lord. Father, I know pastors talk to their churches about that like I talk to this church. And so, Father, I pray that in the meeting next week with many, 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 many pastors from all over the country, especially from all over the eastern part of the country, up and down the eastern seaboard, Lord, and the mid-south that will be there, I pray hearts will be stirred and challenged. And, Father, that we'll stay before you in prayer. And Father, not that we don't believe you don't hear us the first time, but, Lord, just to express our hearts to you that we're sincere about this. It's not a flippant thing. We're sincere about it, and we bring it back to you, Lord. And, Father, we do not just say it one time and walk away from your throne room and forget about it. We carry that burden with us, Lord. And I pray you'll make the offering tonight an encouragement to Dr. Sexton and to the people there who carry the whole burden of that thing. May our part lighten that just a little bit for them. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
let's get our Bibles ready in just a moment. Pastor is coming with a message for our hearts tonight. Before he does, Melanie Libby is going to sing. God bless you, Melanie.
Well, amen. Thank you. Thank you so much. Open your Bibles, if you will, tonight to 1 Corinthians again, but we'll go right directly to the passage in chapter 9. In chapter 9 of 1 Corinthians, verses 24 through 37, as we look at this crown, last week we looked at all of the crowns as an introduction. And now we're dealing with the first crown. Crowns for Christians. Crowns for Christians. These are rewards. My father-in-law used to say, God saves you nothing for nothing and pays you for everything you do. And I like that. It's the way he is. His kindness. His mercies are fresh every day. And we thank the Lord for that. I'm going to read the passage. We'll get right into it. 24, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Know ye not? It's kind of a rhetorical question. I know you know this, but they that run in a race, they which run in a race, run all. But one receiveth the prize. So run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery. Now, this is striving for the mastery. It's interesting. What are you mastering? What are you becoming the master of? Striving for the mastery. Is that to lord it over people, to be the boss over a lot of folks, to lord it over God's heritage? Oh, I think not. No, it's got to be understood in conjunction with the context and the entire principles of all the principles in the Scripture. Everyone that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things, not excessive in things, in all things. Now, they do it. Now, he's given the illustration of the runners and the race. He's talked about the mastery. He's talked about winning. Now, they do it. They do it to obtain a corruptible crown. That corruptible crown was very corruptible. It was generally made of laurel branches or leaves, and they were fresh cut and woven together in the form of a crown that they would put on the winner's head, and it was a very great mark of distinction for that moment, but it didn't last long. It wilted very quickly. Leaves would fall off. You had to handle it very carefully. You know how you do with those things. I remember in the big old family Bible we had, Mother would press flowers. And I don't know how that got started, but it did. A lot of times it would be between wax paper. It was in wax paper. I don't even know if they still make wax paper or not. But I know it used to be great. I loved to take wax paper to school. Took wax paper to school because if you put it on the sliding board and sat down on it, you could go really quick down the slide. It would work great for that. But between wax paper, and I'd ask Mother about this, and she would say that was from so-and-so's funeral. Or that was a flower your daddy gave me on such and such an occasion. I don't see people do that much anymore. I think we've gotten beyond that somewhat. I learned now something about if you hang them upside down, isn't that a way that helps preserve? And they spray things on, all that kind of stuff now. But it's a very corruptible crown. It's a corruptible crown. A few people in here perhaps would remember in the last Summer Olympics, somebody might remember who won the 100-yard dash. But he was crowned. He stood on the highest level. I don't even remember if it was an American or where they were from. I don't remember that. And their national anthem would be played. And they were awarded a medal. Now, that's a little more permanent. That gold medal will be a little more permanent. But it's still corruptible. Still corruptible. They do it to obtain a corruptible crown. But we? Incorruptible. An incorruptible crown. So this is the incorruptible crown. Verse 26. So, therefore, I therefore so run. I run. Not as uncertainly. I don't run with hesitations. I don't run without direction. I don't run with double-mindedness. I don't run with uncertainty. I run with certainty. I do not run as uncertainly. So fight I. And here he brings the fighter into this thing, a boxer into this thing, not as one that beateth the air. Not just sort of shadow boxing, not just doing exercise, not just like a rocking chair. Rocking chair gives you something to do, but it doesn't get you anywhere. And I'm not doing that kind of thing. He said, I have a purpose in this. It's not, I don't fight as one that beateth the air. But I do this. I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. The word castaway there means unusable. Unusable. It would be a vessel, a clay vessel, that for whatever reason something would happen to it that it would not hold any longer that it was designed to hold. If it was designed to hold liquid or water, maybe there'd be a little crack in it or something like that, and somebody has interpreted this and read this into it, lest that after I have preached to others, I myself should be a crackpot. And you don't want to be a crackpot, okay? Doesn't hold anything, okay? Now, let's look at this corruptible crown for just a little bit. The Corinthians were very familiar with this. The Greek games from which we get the Olympics today, the Greek games were very well known. Probably at Corinth the games were as popular there and as big there and as widely known as anywhere else except Rome or Athens perhaps. But it was very well known. Whenever he wrote this to them, they understood exactly what he was talking about. We understand that too. We don't have any question about that. We know exactly what he's talking about, running a race. I guess that's probably the earliest competition that a kid gets involved with, is running a race. I mean, from the time they're crawling almost, and if a kid sees a toy and they see somebody else going for it, it's who can get there first, who can get there first. And the idea is to get there first, okay? And that's the way the race is. It's like somebody ask a track coach. Why he was successful? Because his guys just won and won and won and won. He said, Coach, what do you tell him? He said, I just tell him to get out there, just run as hard as you can, keep turning left, and get back as quick as you possibly can. Just keep on going. Now, oversimplification perhaps, but that's the idea and the thing. The idea is to get back first. Get back first. The race, we're familiar with that. Whatever, anybody here ever run track? Any of you all ever run track? Some of you ran track, okay. How many of you all ever raced someone? You had a foot race with someone? Oh, come on, more of you did that. Come on, girls, women, put your hands up. You did that too. You raced somebody sometime. The race is a prescribed course. Whenever you line up, you don't just line up and here's the starting line, and somebody says, well, where are you going to run? I said, just run wherever you want to. Doesn't make any difference. Just run. Doesn't make any difference where you run. Just run wherever you want to. Well, do you have a certain distance? No, just run however long you want to. It's okay. Well, there are rules, and the course give meaning to the race. Now, some people say, well, you know, you Christians, you're just a bunch of legalists, and you say you can't do this and you can't do that, and you say the Bible forbids this, and the Bible says you're supposed to do this. I believe we just ought to do what we want to, you know, and I believe we just ought to let God lead us. Well, God does lead us. God does lead us. But he leads us in a prescribed way. The rules give definition to any game. If you're playing softball, you have to have an out-of-bounds line. There just simply has to be. And in the Christian life, there's just some things that are out-of-bounds. It gives definition to the whole thing. I mean, there are rules to be followed. I mean, you can't trip somebody else. You can't push them. Now, sometimes there's things that happen and you bump into each other and so forth. And that happens sometimes in the Christian life. Not that we intend to, but sometimes we just bump into each other. Sometimes it's intentional and you act like it's accident. But it's a prescribed course and there are rules that give definition to the race. That's what the race is all about. That's the design of it. And whenever Paul says this, know ye not that they that run in a race run all. They do it to obtain a corruptible crown. We run the race, a spiritual race, an incorruptible race, and we run to obtain an incorruptible crown. Now we're going to come to the spiritual aspect of it in a little bit and deal with that, they that run a race run all, and one receiveth the crown. But the second thing I want you to notice is the runners. The runners in the race. Now, they that run a race run all. If you're going to enter the race, you have some expectation of winning. You say, I can do this. I've learned which way to point my toes and how to lift my feet, and I've known how to tie my shoes, and I know all this thing. I've laid aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset me. I have done that. I've gotten everything out of the way. And they're temperate in all things. They don't sleep too little. They don't sleep too much. They sleep the prescribed amount. They eat the prescribed amount. They eat the way they're supposed to. They're very temperate in that thing. They have been through testings. They have been through previous races. They have qualified for this race. They've been through all of that. They've trained. They've worked. They have perhaps run with ankle weights. They have perhaps run with other weight on their body, and they've trained with extra weight on their body until whenever that's taken off, then they really feel the freedom to run. But there is training that goes into it, and they are tenacious about it. The winners are tenacious about it. And it's not necessarily the person that is the most gifted runner that wins. It's the person that has really put forth the effort into it. It's seen all the time in competitions like this. It's like, you know, it's not even the team many times that has the best players. It's the team that works as a team. In running, it's the person who disciplines themselves the most, who trains the most, who stays out there and works at it the longest, who runs up and down those steps, who does the extra things that have to be done. Not necessarily the gifted ones. Now, the gifted ones, if they train for it properly, will be the ones that will win probably. But it is the training and the discipline. And everything they do is geared toward that race. I think about those guys that run that 100-yard dash. And they train, they work hour after hour after hour after hour, day after day after day after day. And in less than 10 seconds, that thing's over with. And they've trained for hours and hours and hours to run that dash. Fact is, if they run it in 10 seconds, they're probably last. It didn't used to be like that. I remember whenever the guy, his name Ryan, who broke the 10-second. No, that was the 4-minute mile, wasn't it? The 4-minute mile that he broke. But I remember whenever that 10-second 100-yard dash, that barrier was broken. And now everybody breaks that. Everybody breaks it. But they're trained. They're tested. Now, if he is likening winning the race of the Christian life to this right here, how much effort do I give to that? How much effort do you give to that? To striving for the mastery? Now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. But what we're working toward is an incorruptible crown. Something that is eternal. Something that's not going to ever fade. It's not going to diminish. The leaves are not going to wither. The stems are not going to dry out and become brittle. An incorruptible crown. That's the reward. So we look at the race, the runners, the reward. Here's a thing that they put on their head, and boy, they wear it around for a while, and they would do that, and everybody would say, oh, look, he won, she won, wow, all that kind of thing. But it's just temporary. Now look for believers. Whenever we look at this matter of believers in this verse, they for an incorruptible crown. They for a corruptible crown. We for an incorruptible. I want you to see the race. The race for the Christian is a prescribed course. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, he says, "Know you not that they that strive for the masteries are not crowned unless they strive lawfully?" It is not uncommon at all in this day in which we live, to have a person's title taken away from them because they have violated some rules of the race. And a lot of times it has to do with substance abuse and things that they do and that kind of thing in this day and time. But I remember not too long ago, maybe 10 years ago, something like that, somebody won the Boston Marathon, and come to find out, they'd taken shortcuts. And what happened? The crown was lifted. No man that striveth for the mastery is crowned unless he strive lawfully. Now, how do you strive lawfully for the mastery in this thing of the Christian life, in Christian service? Well, you strive according to the Word of God. So you'd be striving according to the power of the Holy Spirit. You'd be striving according to the will of God in what God has for you to do. Now, in the runners, now that's the race. In the runners, it's interesting. For the earthly crown, they that run in a race run all, but only one receiveth the crown. Different people are gifted differently. Different people train differently, so forth like that. But one receiveth the crown. Now, in this matter of striving for the mastery in the Christian life and in the race we run, we all run. But there's not just one winner. I don't run against you. I run against me. There's an individual will of God for my life. And I cannot say, well, I think I'm doing more than somebody else is doing. It doesn't make any difference. If God has gifted me, remember the talents that the master gave whenever he was going to leave? He gave one five, he gave one two, another one, he gave one. Now, there's different. I don't have all the abilities somebody else may have. But I'm not responsible for exercising all the abilities that they have. I'm responsible for exercising and developing and excelling in the abilities that God has given to me and empowered me by His Holy Spirit. We all do not have the same personality, but we all have the same Holy Spirit. We don't all have the same physical characteristics, but we all have the same Word of God. We're not all given the same office in the work of Christ. We're not all the same members of the body of Christ. But we are equally members of the body of Christ, and the head is not responsible for answering what the foot is supposed to do or the hand is supposed to do. The hand does not answer for the responsibilities of the ear, nor of the nose, nor of the eye. The hand answers for the responsibilities of the hand. And so whenever it comes to the reward in this matter of the incorruptible crown, it's how well I did in light of the way God blessed me and what He entrusted to me. Now, it's interesting, isn't it? If we go back to the talents, and I know that had to do with money in that day. It had to do with amounts of money. But it can have to do, and the application is there for anything, if it be talents or gifts or whatever you want to call it. Whenever the master came back and he said, "Look what I've done." He said, I have doubled that you entrusted me with. In other words, I took this amount of money and I invested, I worked it, I bought, I sold, I traded, I did things, I put it to work. I put the money you gave me to work, and I have doubled what you gave me. And here is what I give back to you. I give back to you double that you gave me. Do you get the idea that maybe If we use what God gives us, God will give us something else. I've watched people who did not seem very gifted, but they yielded what they had to the Lord, and they fulfilled the place God put them, and they capitalized on the opportunity that God gave to them. And it amazed me how God opened other doors for them. And He increased their impact and widened their influence. It amazes me how God does that. And sometimes I see someone that is perhaps called to do, sometimes I see a fellow that I know who's called to pastor a church. And I think, he's in over his head. And then the Lord says to me, "You're all in over your head." And I watch God bless that individual. There have been a couple of guys recently that have watched, in the last couple of weeks, a couple of guys that have been called to churches. And one guy particularly I'm thinking of, I just said, I should have called that church. I should have called that church and said, don't call that guy. But I am excited to see what God's going to do, because He's able. He's able. I know He's able. Who, that preacher? No, God's able. God's able. And I've watched that guy that I have in my mind right now, and I could call his name. You wouldn't know him, but some people who are watching tonight would know him. And I could call his name, and I've watched him, and I've watched something that I never thought would take place in his life. He has been faithful in a position that was not the easiest position. He has been faithful there, and now God's put him in another position. And I just believe God's going to bless him and use him in a wonderful way. It's amazing. It's amazing to see that happen. You say, well, can that happen to me? Well, certainly that can happen to you. Now, you're not responsible. Probably you're not responsible. The majority of us here tonight are not responsible for standing up here and singing like Melanie did. You're not responsible for that. And yet I have watched some people who really, God put in them a desire to do that. And they begin. They begin working on that. They begin fulfilling a place. I've watched people that really didn't stand much chance of ever singing a solo, get in the choir. And they sing. And one day they walk up here on the platform and I say, "What's this?" And they sing. And I thought, "Where'd that come from? Where'd that come from?" I see them in a group. And they're singing up here in one of the groups. They're singing. I've got a young man in Voices of Victory. They're not in here. They're only the other place. And the parents aren't even in here tonight. So I can say this. I got a young man in Voices of Victory. And whenever he tried out, I said, "I don't know." But I needed 4 on that part. And so he made it. And you know what? He's carrying his weight. He's doing okay. surprised me. But I'm going to tell you what, he worked. He worked at it. He worked hard at it. Now they do it. They do it. They get out here and they run and they discipline themselves and they practice and they train and they follow instructions of the coach. And they go to bed when they're supposed to. They get up when they're supposed to. They follow the routine every day that they eat what they're supposed to eat. They don't eat what they're not supposed to eat. They drink water. They don't drink Cokes and sodas and things like that. They don't drink those things because that'll slow them down. That'll slow them down. They don't get overweight. They keep their weight right where it's supposed to be. They keep enough weight to keep their energy, but they don't get so much weight it slows them down. They keep that thing in perfect balance. Oh, Lord, help us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ to be so disciplined in our service for the Lord Jesus Christ that we would be like that, because we're doing it to obtain an incorruptible crown and hear our Lord say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Let us run with patience, Romans 12:1 says, the race that is set before us. I don't know what your race is. I don't know what the prescribed course God has put you on. Now, I know basic what God says in His Word, and nothing disagrees with that in your life. And if something in your life you think God has for you to do is not according to the Scripture, it's not God leading you to that. It's something else leading you to that. Paul took this matter seriously. I don't know if Paul was an athlete whenever he was a kid or not. I don't know whether he was or not. But he knew about these things. He knew about them. If he wasn't an athlete, he was a fan. And he said, I do this. This is what I do. He said, I keep under my body and I bring it into subjection. I don't let my body have everything it wants. I tell my body what it can have and what it can't have. How does he do that? He does that by the power of the Holy Spirit. He said, I'm not the servant of my body. My body is what God has given me with which to serve Him. So I don't serve my body. And he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10, he says, you know, all things are, I'm sorry, not 1 Corinthians 15, 10, but in 6:12, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful to me, but I will not be brought under the bondage of any. I'm not going to let that happen to me. I'm not going to be brought, I'm free to do whatever I want to do. But I'm not going to do those things that are not necessary for me to be the best I can be for the Lord Jesus Christ. If we'd make some kind of decision about that, I think that would be a helpful thing. I'm going to get under my body and bring it into subjection. In 1 Corinthians 15, 10, he says, I labored more abundantly than they all. Now, that's not a braggadocious thing on his part. He's just saying, I labored in this thing. I worked in this thing. You know as well as I do, in grades in school, it's not necessarily the smartest kid that makes the best grades. Now, that natural intellect will carry them, and that IQ and everything will carry them to a certain point. But it's not necessarily the ones that make the best grades. The one that makes the best grades is the ones that study. And what happens for kids sometimes, whenever they get to where they think they can make the grades without studying, and then they get into a difficult subject, and they don't make the grades. Know ye not that we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ? Now, what happens at the judgment seat of Christ? This is not a judgment for salvation, see whether or not you're going to heaven, but it's a judgment to evaluate how you ran your race. How you ran the race that God laid out before you, the race that was set before you. how I ran the race that was set before me. God said, this is what I have for you. This is my will for your life. This is it, today. Tomorrow we do this. Next day we do this. Next day we do this. It's not a matter of knowing what I'm going to be doing 10 years from now. It's a matter of doing what God has for me to do today. And if I live every day in the will of God, 10 years from now, where will I be? If I live every day in the will of God, 10 years from now, I'm going to be in the will of God. Today, I'll do what God has for me today, day by day. And then, whenever I stand before the judgment seat of Christ, He evaluates my race. Did I run lawfully? Did I run according to the Word of God? Did I run according to the power of the Holy Spirit? Did I run with the right spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit? Did I run with the right motive? Motive, the glory of God. Did I run with a humble spirit, not comparing myself to others, but running before God, before Him and for Him and in front of Him as He watched, as He beheld? And that'll be evaluated. Now, it won't take Him long to evaluate that. He's got that done. He's got that done, day by day, moment by moment. That's done. Did I live today in the way that God wanted me to live? Did I accomplish what He wants me to accomplish? Paul said, I want to live in such a way in Philippians 2:16 that I will not have run in vain. I will not have run in vain. It's not a matter of what I can do and get by with it. It's a matter of what I should do for God's purpose and for God's glory. I must run and not be a stumbling block. Take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. Become a stumbling block. I must not do that. I have the liberty in the Lord Jesus Christ, but I must exercise my liberty in Christ in such a way that someone doesn't look at me and say, whoa, I don't know about that. If he can do that, I guess I can do this. If he can act that way, then I can act this way. I must not be a stumbling block that would cause a weaker brother or a weaker sister to go astray from following the will of God for their life. Mastery over the flesh. Mastery over sin. The incorruptible crown. I'd like to have that crown. I'd like to have that crown. I'd like for the Lord to say, John, here's an incorruptible crown. And I don't know how this all works. I don't know how it all works. I know there's principles in the Word of God. But if that indeed happens, and the Lord says, John, you didn't run a perfect race. On a scale of 1 to 10, I'd like to come in at an 8 anyhow. But I got this incorruptible crown for you. And He places it on my head. I don't know how that'll all work. Don't know how He's going to do that. But it's going to be something. There's going to be something take place. Okay? And I don't know what we'll do, and I don't know what we're supposed to do. And I'll know at that time. But I'd like to think that I'd say back to Him, and as I bowed before Him, I would say, Lord, I know I wouldn't have this crown if it wasn't for You. You saved me. You gave me Your Word. You gave me Your will. You gave me the power of Your Holy Spirit. You gave me a wife that enabled me and helped me and urged me along and encouraged me when I was discouraged. You gave me a family that brought joy to my life, and I was thrilled. And Lord, you everything about it, you opened the opportunities. You enabled me to walk through the doors. You enabled me. So, Lord, I want you to have it. I want you to have it. The only joy I get out of receiving, or the greatest joy I get out of receiving it, is that I can give it back to you. I don't know how that'll all work, but I know one thing. It is all of Him and about Him. If you have your Bible open, we're going to look at this next. The crown of life. The crown of life, that's the incorruptible crown. We come now to the crown of life. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Now that temptation, you know, there's two aspects of temptation. One is an aspect of testing, us. The other is a solicitation to evil. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. I think both of them are there in the Word. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. That's James chapter 1, verse 12. James chapter 1, verse 12. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, it says, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Now this is to the church at Ephesus. To the church at Ephesus. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. The crown of life. Walking through temptations and trials that may be even unto death. We'll pick it up there next Thursday night. Next Thursday night we'll pick it up. If the Lord should come right now, today, this night, before this night's over, would I be given the crown incorruptible? Would I have that crown? All of us need to evaluate ourselves before God and from God's perspective and say, God, I want that. I want that. Not to wear around in pride, but to cast before your feet. In humility and praise. Praise Him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. Let's stand together. There's a race to be run. There's victories to be won. Old song we used to sing said, Lord, I want a shining diadem when I reach that heavenly land. What must I do, my Lord, to gain a diadem? Not talking about gaining salvation. It's talking about gaining a diadem, a crown. What must I do, my Lord, to gain a diadem when I reach that heavenly crown? Oh, you must run the race that's set before you. That's what you must do. Follow straight on and never look back to the right or left, but keep your eyes on Jesus. That's the way to win a diadem. Okay? Father, thank you so much for saving us, Lord, and putting before us the opportunity to have your approval and expressed in somehow, Lord, in these crowns that you have named in your book. And Father, I pray that we would conduct ourselves in such a way, not just so we can show off, but so that we can praise you and give glory to you in that you award to us, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, don't watch the live stream from Knoxville on Sunday, okay? You be in here and watch what's going right on in these buildings here at this place. But if you would, pray for your old preacher as I try to be a blessing and challenge the people there to confront unbelief in this day in which we live. God bless you. Okay.